Welcome to Story Comic Presents, where we interview amazing storytellers and artists. This is episode 186. I'm your host, Barney Smith, of StoryComic.com, and we're excited to have with us the acclaimed and celebrated comic creator of Avalon, Brandon Starocki.
Hello, everyone.
Brandon, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, just enjoying this nice evening, summer, early midsummer.
It's evening here on the East Coast. Pretty nice up here, right where I'm at least.
Right. Yeah. So what time does the sun? Okay, so it's like the further south you go, the earlier the sunset is. The further north you go, the later the sunset is when it comes to that. So what time does the sun set now in your state now?
Honestly, I feel like it's like 9. Let's see. It says 8:55 is what it says.
8:55. Okay.
That's our sunset. All right.
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. It's a long day. Which is good.
It's good. It's nice to see that. It kind of like throws you off a little bit where you're like, when you mix up your dinner time or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, yeah.
It definitely does. Yeah.
Yeah. And then also in the wintertime when it's like the sun sets, it's so early. It kind of messes you up, but
yeah. Oh, it definitely messes. And it's for so long of the year too. At least I don't know where you're from, but like around here, winter's like 7 months out of the year.
Oh, right. Well, I'm in Vermont, so I'm even further north than you are.
So. Oh, okay. So yeah, there you go. You kind of understand it then.
Yeah, I completely understand. Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks.
So with this, well, one of the really cool things that just came out, and it was the getting rid of the daylight savings time, where all of a sudden everybody just stays the same. So
who just did that? The nationwide?
The government, they just passed that like a few months ago. They said no more changing the clocks. So you're going to stick to the one
is that
time.
Nationwide?
No more. Nationwide. Yeah,
oh,
it's federal.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've been saying that for a while, though, too. I think it's just, like, annoying. It's just, I don't care. I'd rather have more time at the end of the day than the morning, because in the morning, right, you're just going to work. You know what I mean? Yep. You're just doing your thing. You're at work anyway. So,
yeah. No more moving awesome. To clocks. So, it's good.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So, we should talk about the show. Okay, so yeah. That was just my random banter. All right, so Brandon, you're here to talk about your latest Kickstarter, which is issue number 2 of Avalon, yes. which takes place. What I love about your story here, Avalon, it's post-apocalyptic. It has the zombie feel to it, but it's mostly about family dynamics.
Yeah.
So talk to us about that. This is really interesting. The way you write the characters in this and the way it's portrayed, the backdrop could be anywhere, but making the characters be in a situation that is this post-apocalyptic zombie thing. So like when you put your family into a stressful situation, that's when you determine how strong the bonds are of the family or where that is. So that's something that I've been really enjoying watching, you know, looking at Avalon and knowing more about it, is that it's the family is first, the characters are first, and the background is the apocalypse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's something that I've said in the past too, I'm a real big zombie genre fan as it is. And I've been watching zombie genre, you know, films for as long as I can remember. And I always kind of like look at it. I watch these movies, you know, a lot of these things are like good. I like them, but then something felt missing. And I watch something else. I love it. It's good, but something was missing. And then I was watching another, you know, and so on. So then I started putting it when I got a little older too, around senior year in high school is when I kind of started putting all these ideas together. Like, I don't see this or this into this. And then later down the line, when I even met Alan, same deal. Now we both kind of collaborated on the idea. We're like, oh, we didn't see this or this, and you know, zombie genre story, so let's really try to implement this in our story and try and give people something to relate to, character wise and just like kind of focusing on real mental health issues, real pre-existing injuries, like real things that happen to us in real day-to-day life, and then throw it all into an apocalypse, or throw the apocalypse at them, I guess, kind of say it like that instead, where, you know, this fractured bond between this family that we're going to be following in Avalon has already happened, and they're already kind of going back and forth with each other. Now you're throwing an apocalypse right in the mix there to kind of deal with that as well.
Right. So when it came down to it, so looking at it from the character development piece, so you had the concept of using family dynamics in an apocalyptic setting. From there, when you had that spark of that idea 7 or 8 years ago, how did you decide what character concepts or stereotypes or characters you decide to start with first?
Like the characters we have in Avalon, correct?
Right.
Yeah, I guess that there's bits and pieces that I take from my personal life that I've seen, you know, from other people around me, other people I've met in the past, you know, and all that stuff. And I'm trying to put a lot of me and my experience with people and my experience with family and friends and all that stuff into this story. So I feel like that's where a lot of the realness kind of comes from. And the three brother idea, it to me, it shows, okay, obviously brothers stick together. We've all seen that. We've all, you know, seen movies like that, or we all know that kind of thing. Family stays together, you know, but how about we start this? So brothers or family that naturally love each other, you know, they have to and all that stuff, but let's start it so they're fractured already. Let's start. There's already a problem with them. So something happens to them. So they're already kind of split, you know, and like, you can't just leave them. You can't shun them for a while, because now I'm throwing an apocalypse at this family that now they're bringing them together, and you have to live with each other and figure out these problems with this apocalypse that's right outside their door. You know what I'm saying? Right. So there's different thing, key differences in obviously these characters. And like there's a young brother that's named Mason that you grow and you learn from the first issue, and we'll touch on it a lot, that he's suffering with mental illness and all that stuff, like anxiety and, you know, and all that stuff. And other characters as well, we're going to be hitting that, those points in the future as well. Like, what are they carrying? Like, there's something that they're carrying with them. What is it? Let's see it come out and put them to the test, living together again, and with the apocalypse at bay there.
So when you put these characters together, what were as utilizing some bits, as you say, of some people that you've familiar with or whatever, because there's 1,000 different personalities that a dad would have. There's 1,000 different personalities as a mother would have.
Yeah.
When you decided to put together the three brothers situation, some of the things that you said earlier were that some of the non-starters, the things that you were going to have, is basically, you know, families connected, families stick together, families are important, and that bond is hard to break. And putting in the idea of what would somebody look like that has issues of mental health, and what else did you want to put into there that you thought would be a good personality to add to the family that was one of the more later additions to your brainstorming phase?
I guess it's I'm going to see if I can figure out an answer without kind of spoiling what I got coming up. So so I guess just people are different, obviously. So the way I look at it is I'm putting a little bit of me in there. So I have two other brothers. So immediately it's almost like I'm thinking about what would I do in a situation as just a basic person. Okay, so I have me and two brothers. So as the oldest brother, what is the oldest brother going to do? What is the middle brother going to do? What is the youngest brother going to do? So now you give these characters problems. And now maybe one brother is not so sure why the other brother with anxiety is acting a certain way. So maybe he's being more hard on him when he should be more lenient with him, when the other brother knows that. You know what I'm saying? So like, there's other things that being around and seeing how this is all playing out before the apocalypse. And now when you get him at the apocalypse, now the stresses are high for all the family members, and the mom and the dad and the brothers. So now it's trying to learn these characters' problems pre-apocalypse and trying to work on that with each other with the stress of, you know, survival of the fittest. You know what I'm saying? Now you have to fight these people, these zombies, for lack of a better term, right now. And with the end of the world happening, people going nuts, you know, it just, and it's relatable. Obviously, it's elevated extreme, but it's relatable because we just came out of COVID too. So there's a lot of things that people could understand and can relate to because of what we saw, how people would act with the COVID, you know, pandemic, and how people would do certain things as well. So it's definitely relatable now more than ever to do that. And it's more realistic now because people've seen it.
Mm. And so what were some of the things, as you know, we're talking about, and we'll get into it in a little bit, that we'll go over the Kickstarter for issue number two. As you're scripting this out, I'm really curious, as you're scripting this out and you're writing out the, you know, writing out what happens next, did the characters ever take over and kind of go in a different direction that you weren't expecting as you're writing out the script?
Yeah, actually several times. There's a very basic thing I had when I originally had it. It's a very basic, I wanted this character to do this, 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 and that. And all with same thing with all these other characters. And as I was writing it, I started to learn about these characters more and more. I mean, everything that's in your head, it's like, okay, it's in your head, you know who they are. But as soon as you start to flesh out these characters and you actually start to write these characters out, you start to understand them as the writer. And, you know, they become like more real, I guess, for, I guess, how else are you going to say that? And they actually start growing in your head as well on the paper. So a lot of things have changed, and it's hard to explain over such a small, since we're only on issue two, I can't kind of explain those changes where I wanted to have a character to where they are now. I feel like I would have a better answer for that 6 issues in, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I would be able to tell you how I wanted a certain character and how they ended up, because you saw the progression over 5-6 issues. So a lot has changed. Yeah. As I started getting to know these characters more and more on paper.
So how many issues in have you scripted out already?
So I have 8 issues written out. I have the first volume, which is going to be 1-6 done. I have the first arc done. I'm kind of reworking the second arc a little bit, and I kind of have in my head, I have probably up to 30, 40 issues in my head. But obviously a lot of that is going to be kind of, I noticed after doing issue one for the first time that we really, when the first draft of issue one, me and Alan spread it out between like 4 or 5 issues. And we did so much more with the original draft of issue one and made it like 4 issues long. So I just imagine that it can only get bigger and bigger and bigger as time goes on.
So issue one came out and was released and delivered in March this year. Mm-hmm. And are you planning? Cause then now I see issue two is going to be delivered in August this year.
August, September. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be done in August, and we're hoping to get everything out by the latest September. Yeah.
Okay. So are you planning on then Brandon to have trying to create the schedule of maybe 2 issues a year coming out?
I would love to do more, but probably more realistically that it was something that we were looking at quarterly. I still am considering it a little bit. I think depending on how issue two Kickstarter does, I'm hoping we hit the goal. I'm hoping everything goes normal. I'm looking to start the year off fresh and try to get out 3, maybe 4 issues next year. Every quarter. Okay. Yeah. Depending on how everything goes schedule wise, I'm really trying to start the year fresh with hit one in the beginning of the year, quarter, and we'll see what happens. But I would love to do something like that. Just so everybody can see the story a lot quicker develop, because I'm a true believer in the story that we got and we came up with, because not only Alan and I, but we have some people around us as well that make sure this project is the best project it could potentially be.
Right. So let's talk about it. Let's look over this. And as I say, this is a great concept. I love the idea of the family dynamics inside of, you know, focusing on that inside a zombie apocalypse. I love it. You have on here, so let's look at what you get for your pledge levels on here. You have your pretty much your, you know, your standard PDF pledge for $6. Yep. All right, that's really good. And then you have a physical copy of you can get the physical copy pledge for $10. And how many pages are we talking about here, Brandon?
We're talking 24 pages. Wow, something I failed to put in there too as well. If whoever does get the physical copy is also getting a PDF copy. I know that there's a lot of people out there. We didn't do it with issue one, but we're working on getting a PDF sold on our Shopify app. But everybody that does buy a physical copy is going to get a PDF copy as well. So if they don't want to open it or whatever, because I've heard a lot of people say they don't want to open it, you know, and all that stuff. So they want to keep it in the packaging and all that. So that is something that people are going to get. I failed to mention it in the description of the tier, but that is going to be happening as well.
Okay. And that's right. And if those that are interested, you can go to avaloncomic.myshopify.com to get a poster. They have the poster available and also the issue number one available there. But that's a good deal then, Brandon, because if you think about it, if you're paying $6 for the PDF and $10 for the physical copy, then basically what you're doing is you're paying $4 for the physical copy.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Talk to us a bit about the variant cover.
So we have the variant. We have cover A and B in the update section of the Kickstarter on the top there.
All right.
So yeah, that's what we're looking at with the covers, but we're doing something a little different with the variants and the tiers. We're allowing people to buy an individual variant. We're allowing people to get it cheap, and as soon as those sell out, then that's what we're hoping to, you know, more for the donation factor of it, to get issue two cover A and issue two cover B later on as a double kind of whammy there. It's just a little more expensive when those sell out.
So, and then at your $15 pledge level, you got issue one and two physical copies.
Yep, just a catch-up tier for people who are seeing this now, because when we were originally doing the issue one Kickstarter, we were mostly promoting it to friends and family. We didn't have, we weren't public when the Kickstarter was out. It was kind of like a friends and family kind of Kickstarter. This one, obviously, we're doing more interviews, we're being more active, we're out to the public and all that stuff. So if they're just now seeing us, they have that ability to get both in one.
Well, the good thing is here, you're looking at that, you got eight backers on that one. I mean, that's eight new readers.
Yes. Yep. Of course. Yeah. Because that's what I'm saying. They're buying issue one and two. They're trying to get caught up. And now would be the time to do it, because, you know, it's hard to buy a huge catch up tier when you're 10 issues in, you know, so it's just like, oh, geez, that's a lot of comics to get. But this is a good time to get one and two and kind of get caught up and trying to get into this story now.
Right. And then you have, for the $20 pledge, you get issue two plus the cover print.
Yes. And the cover print is a nice cardstock material. We did it with issue one as well. It came out very well. And I was really happy with it. Got it from a company. I think it's called like print runner or print something like that. I have to look on my save links, but it came out pretty nice. And we really like those.
Okay. All right. Nice. And so, but then what, so that plus the difference between for the $25 pledge, and you already got two backers for this too, is Avalon issue number two plus poster.
And the poster is what the first post you saw in the updates with the three brothers on the bottom and the title as well. And again, we did something similar with the poster that you saw on the Shopify with the last Kickstarter as well. We were selling that poster with the faces and the title, which that was pretty cool too. And we still have a bunch of those, obviously. It's on the Shopify. That came out really nice as well.
Nice. And talk to us a bit about your $35 pledge.
So you're getting all of them. You're getting the poster, the cover, and the cover print. And it's just kind of giving you all, if you want all that kind of, I don't know, what do you call it? Merchandise? Is that what it's kind of called?
Yeah.
Merchandise or memorabilia, whatever you call it. I don't know what to call it. But you're kind of getting it all at once, you know, and then you're all getting in one bundle rather than kind of buying it in little pieces and in the future. And it could be more expensive, you know. So getting it all at once there and helping us reach that goal is greatly appreciated. And we love everybody who helps us out there.
Right. And so then at the $40 pledge, what is that? You have the, you get issue two plus variant issue two cover.
Yeah. So obviously when you think about it for a second, you go up and you see, okay, variant cover up there is only $11. And then, you know, the other one is only $10. So I could spend $21. You know, the thought that we're doing with it is if those variants sell out, you want to jump on them quick, you know? So we're making it, I think we're only selling 10 single right. variant copies by themselves. So if you wanted to get them, that's the cheapest you're going to get them here on the Kickstarter. And then if you want the variant issue, you're either going to have to come to events or buy it through here on the $40 one. And it's going to a good cause. We understand that all of the stuff, you know, it's a little more expensive, but it's going to a good cause so we can do what we want to do. And this is you're solidifying your chance of getting this variant issue because we're only going to be selling it through the Kickstarter and at events.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a really smart move. And then you have the all in one for mm-hmm. $65.
Yep, you get it all in one there. Obviously, you're getting the variant cover, the regular cover print, and all that stuff.
Okay, the cover print and the poster. Mm-hmm. You get the poster, the hard stock cover print. You get the you get the variant cover B, and then the standard cover A.
Yep. Yep.
Wow. Okay. And this actually ends up being the better deal. It looks like too.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. You're kind of getting it all, and then you're saving your money when you look at the other tiers above. Overall, right. with all the equipment, and again, greatly appreciated because it helps us out. It gets us to our goal faster, and all that stuff.
And then for a mere $20 more, you get they're all signed.
Everything signed. Yep, everything will be signed by both Alan and I. Unfortunately, we can't get the artist to sign it because he's all the way in Greece. I would love to do it. So, if someone ever does get a signed copy with the artist, that's where the money's going to be. Because that's going to be very rare and far and in between.
Talk to us a bit about that then, Brandon. How did you wrote out your script? Talk to us a bit about those next steps of how you were able to create the comic.
Find our artist basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our process, we made the comic book, like we our third draft was a charm basically. We went through three drafts. And went through two different artists, wasn't working out, and we found Demetrius Nastos, who we use now, and man, am I lucky to have found him. He does a phenomenal job for a fair price. He gets it. He's a workhorse. You know, he really pounds this workout and all that stuff. He does an amazing job with everything. Very go-getter mentality and all that as well. I was on Instagram looking on the hashtag. I think it was comic book artist or art or something like that. And every day I would just scroll until I found something I like. I'd click it. I'd look at the rest of their profile, message them, find somebody I like, you know, that I would just do that for probably a couple months until I found him. And that's when I found him. And he was, again, he was just like all on it. He was all on board. He gave me and then after we communicated, I had him do a sample page of what the art was going to look like with this, with Avalon, because I'm looking for something very similar to The Walking Dead, where it's like dark, and that had a lot of inspiration on the black and white as well. But I wanted to kind of keep that red to kind of differentiate and make it shown like the punch and all that stuff. So, like the noir, the creepy vibe that he really does, and he did an amazing job on that page. So then I was like, yep, you're it. So hired him, and then we went through a lot with issue one because I was very stubborn. You know, I was very stubborn on what I wanted. And actually we just talked recently and I told him that issue two, I'm going to hold closer to me than issue one. And that's because, you could see in the last year and a half that we've worked together, how our relationship kind of, expanded and really grew with each other and the chemistry that we built over just basically texting over social media. And I gave him a lot more freedom from issue two on, because he's on issue three right now, but a lot more freedom with issue two because the artwork's way better. He uses the shading a lot better, the blacks a lot better. He makes it seem very creepy and dark. He does the panel work amazing, exactly how I saw it in my head, how I wanted it to be, almost camera angle like, where you're watching a camera kind of go through scenes, and he does a phenomenal job with the whole art and the coloring and all of it. He does all of that.
Right. So let me ask you this. And so you might be having like some comic book writers listening to this thing. Yeah. You know, Brandon, I got a story. So now you tell me the way you good place to find an example would be going to Instagram. So next steps, you find an artist. How do you get the artist to send you the pictures, and how does that work? How does that work for you?
The way I kind of went about it, not even just with him, with other people as well. Like I would just message him. I would just tell him I'm working on a project. I'm looking for an artist. I would acknowledge that I look through their page and I like their style and all that stuff. Is there any chance that we could work out, you know, do like a sample page like we're talking about? And either A, they don't message you back. B, they just read it and don't message you back. C, they do read it and they're expensive. And you're like, oh, I can't. Nope, never mind. Or like D, you keep going through these different options because you're going to go through a lot of them because you're going to be messaging a lot of people trying to find your thing. So you just got to find somebody willing. You got to find somebody that's just willing to just go through the battles with you because it's going to be a battle, especially in the indie comic world. It's not going to be easy by any means. You have to kind of go and fight through this whole kind of obstacle. So find somebody that's going to go through the battle with you, really.
Okay. And what about situations with, say, like contracts or anything like that? What would be your suggestion?
So far, we're just doing issue to issue with ours. I would love to kind of hit them with a big kind of volume contract. I'm trying to each contract kind of give them a little more whenever I can give it. You know, the more I make from this comic, the more I'm going to pay my artist because he's literally bringing it to life. Although we have the story there, people are seeing the story through his art. So he has a big impact on this, you know, Avalon being what it is today. So the more I get paid or the more the comic gets paid, he's going to get paid more as well. And I've told him that 1,000 times, but he's definitely on board. He just wants this thing to come to life because he loves the project as well, as a fan and as the, you know, artist as well. So the way we do is just issue to issue, you know, find a good medium, you know, payment for that you can pay and that they will receive, find a good price for each other.
Right. And your final tier too, which is always good to see, is a retail package.
Yes. Yeah. I think because just going through the couple stores that we do, because we're selling, we sold comics in I think four or five different stores right now. I think it's a good deal, kind of what we've been given these comic stores before. We've only been giving them like 10% off per wholesale that they've been buying. So this one you get, we had two free, basically is what it is. I don't even know what the math ended up being, but it was basically you were getting like two to four for free is kind of what it was if you bought it. It's because we're going to be selling them, I think, for $4.99 this time after the Kickstarter is out.
And so was this something, because you didn't have this in your first Kickstarter, you didn't have a retail bundle, correct?
No, we did not. Nope.
Okay. So what was one of the impetuses of doing that for issue number two?
Just because now we're public, now we're out there, now we're really marketing it as well. Now that we've been kind of messaging these comic stores, especially around us, if they want to sell our comic, and we have been, you know, working out some deals with some of these comic stores. Like I said, we've four or five of them we're selling in right now, and I'm in talks with about, I want to say, 5 to 10 more to kind of see if they're willing to sell just a couple at a time as well. So now that we're public and we're out there and we're showing people, it's almost like now we're, if we do come across a realtor package or a realtor person or a comic book store that does want to sell, we have that potential there for them, and they're getting a deal with it as they're buying. You're spending $100, but you're getting a deal off of it is what you're doing.
Right. Right. Now I'm really curious. I always want to be curious about this question for any of the zombie apocalyptic type, you know, genres. Do you, as the creator, have an idea in your head on the backstory for this?
Oh, as for the, like the infection or the virus or whatever. Yes. Not like a origin yet, but we know what it is. We have like an idea of like what is doing it. And
okay,
so we're working out kinks, and it's a very basic, like what's doing it is for sure. The reason it's happening is we're working out the kinks. But yeah, it's definitely, we have it. We're just trying to put the pieces together. It's like the piece of the puzzle right in front of us. It's just, we just got to make it all make sense. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So yeah, we do know what's happening and we do know what's going on. So yeah. Right. And it's still something we have yet to figure out if we're going to tell anybody this, if we're going to show it in the story, or if the characters or the readers are going to know this. It may or may not. I don't know. If it follows the story plot that we're on or the story arc that we're on, you might. I don't know. Right. I guess we'll see in the future.
So what would be some of the tips that you'd give people that are looking at wanting to take their comic and do a Kickstarter on it? What are some of the things that you did in this second Kickstarter that you wished you knew when you did your first Kickstarter?
It's kind of hard to say just because of the situation we were in, but I feel like because I don't look like back in hindsight with it, because like I said, we weren't even public when we had issue one Kickstarter. So it's kind of hard to say what I would do differently because we weren't like public, but there's a lot more things that like focusing on the tiers and the description and doing more little things. I think just for the whatever of it is, we're going to add stickers to every package on. So if we're going to buy a bundle of stickers for everybody to get for every pledge, I think that's little things that we didn't really focus on that I really wish that we would have made like a point to kind of tell people, like, oh, you're getting a sticker, or oh, you're getting like a nice little postcard thing that has Avalon and it's like a cool little, you know, picture and all that stuff. Like, that's something I wish I kind of told people or put in there. Because I mean, I know for me, I like little things like that. I like, you know, I like having little like posted cards or little sticker or keychains of a comic that I'm reading. So I feel like, especially for people that are kind of pledging for this, these Kickstarters, that are looking for these Kickstarters, are looking for little unique little things and a little cool pins or little stupid things, you know. So I just wish I really focused on those little details like that. And basically that's it, you know.
Okay.
And one thing too as well, sorry, I forgot to mention this, is do the
a pre-launch notification.
So we didn't do a pre-launch for this because I couldn't figure that out, and that is that I would, if I had to go back before I even released this one, I would have done like a long-term pre-launch and really promoted the pre-launch. Okay. But we didn't do that. It was kind of just like we just started it and we kind of promoted it as time was going on.
Right. This is a good, this is exciting stuff, Brandon. I love, so if somebody wants to, as we said earlier, if someone's interested in getting issue number one, probably their best bet to do it for the sake is probably go to the Kickstarter now for issue number two and buy the, and buy the catch up. But as you say, you also have, your Shopify, avaloncomic.myshopify.com, where they could buy the poster as well, is on there. And you are still looking at how to get the PDF up, you said, for Shopify?
Yeah, we're, as soon as we get the PDF completed, we're going to put it up on the Shopify as well. And again, for everybody that is ordering a comic on this, on the Kickstarter for issue two, you're going to get a PDF as well. It's coming with the package no matter what. So everybody's going to get that as well. That's something we did not do with issue one.
Right. And so how would that, how's the, as you said, you're looking at doing, probably doing, launching your issue number three Kickstarter at the beginning of next year?
The Kickstarter, I think we're still figuring out how we're going to do the Kickstarter for issue three. We're definitely going to do something. I don't know if it's going to be kind of like a launch, like this is going to be a big goal like it is now. I think it's going to be exclusive variant stuff for the issue three Kickstarter. I'm not, Alan and I are kind of still kind of figuring out what we want to do with it, but I think right now it's kind of turning towards, it's just going to be exclusive material, and it's not going to be anything you can get anywhere else. No event, no Shopify app or anything like that. Only on the Kickstarter. Right. And so I think that's what we're really going to do with the Kickstarter for issue three and maybe so on, but that's still something that we're working out to see what we want to do with.
Right. And some, like you said, some exclusive add-ons as well, like you said, like cover prints and things like that.
Of course. Yeah. It's just all that stuff exclusive. You can't get anywhere else. It's just going to be Kickstarter stuff.
So, so another question for you, Brandon, as being the first fan of Avalon because you started to write it.
Yeah.
What was in the back of your head? Some ideas of like, oh, I always wanted to have this, like you said, like a keychain or something. Do you have some things that you're kind of planning on for future Kickstarters?
Oh, for the future Kickstarters. I don't know. I think those things kind of like come to an idea at the top of my head when I'm like talking to the artist about something. Like him and I will collaborate. I'm like, well, like this will be a cool thing to do, and then we can kind of sell this. So that's just stuff that if we do go the route with the exclusive material, I'm sure with Alan, myself, and the artist, we're all going to come together because we're all comic people, you know.
Right.
Now, especially in this world, but. I really like the unique stuff. Like I buy like this is like statues and all that stuff, like Evil Dead and all that stuff, the Batman stuff here. So I like the unique stuff. So we're definitely gonna come up with some cool things. There is something that the artist just finished for me that is going to be, we're not gonna promote it until, we're not gonna show it until our Comic-Con that we're going to in September. It's okay. Kind of like a little secret until then. It's a cool thing, and I hope it turns out well. Something that we're still waiting to get. The artist finished it. We're waiting to get it, and we're hoping it looks really well. It looks really good and all that stuff. We're going to post it probably right before Comic-Con coming up.
Oh, cool. So what else also, too? Do you have any other kind of like other mediums that you're thinking of, like maybe like a board game or a card game, or do you have other ideas, or a video game, or do you have any other like dreams about what you could do with that Avalon IP?
Not yet. My brain does go wild, and sometimes I have to tame it, you know. So it's just like I'm trying to focus on, because like even working on the story right now and all that stuff, I really, my brain will go wild, and I'm like, I should do this too, and then I'll go this way, and then that's why I have the team around me to kind of steer me in the right direction, because then it's like, I understand it. There's a lot of things that people can expand on a world that and make it so much bigger, and there, Avalon does have that potential to be a lot bigger than just the comic,
and
I'm talking like live action stuff, and maybe short films in the future as well, because I'm at heart into the movie industry. I love, you know, everything movie industry. So I'm hoping to do like little short films in the future as well for Avalon, and not be these characters, maybe just be in this world that we create. And this world's going to get exposed after issues go on and all that stuff. But there's going to be a lot of things in the future that we want to do with Avalon, the world of Avalon and all that stuff. And like I said, my brain goes wild constantly. My team is telling me to kind of stick to the course right now. Let's get this out for and build a base first, and then we'll focus time on that other stuff. So,
well, yeah. So, congratulations. I mean, looking at this, you're well on your way. This is really exciting stuff. And listen, you're gonna have to, Brandon, you're gonna have to come back on when you want to start talking about issue number 3.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I would love to come back on here.
Yeah, and where if people want to find you and follow Avalon what's the best place they can go?
So we have a link tree on each one of these social media platforms. We have it on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Patreon, Redbubble, Shopify, all that stuff. And each one of those links as well have our link tree connected to it. So cool. You can find us about anywhere right now. Except for YouTube. We don't have
like
a YouTube channel or anything.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Brandon. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. This was awesome.
All right. Brings out the old adage is there's an old adage. Well, let me timestamp this so that way when I say it later when it's edited, I'll be like super super concise on this.
It
reminds me of the old adage of every, darn it, I did it again. Anyway, still the same timestamp. It reminds me of the old adage that no captain is, oh, what is it? Darn it all to biscuit. It's every captain's good in a calm sea, or a calm seas do not make a good does not make a good captain, or something along those lines, meaning
when you put,